We're reading from Kabbalah for the Student on page 151, article A Handmaid That Is Heir to Her Mistress. The reason for the concealment of Kabbalah. You may ask questions on Kabbalah TV. Selected questions will be aired. We're reading from the title, The Reason for the Concealment of Kabbalah. This clarifies what would unfold if our sages revealed the wisdom to all. And since we conceal, as long as our commoner is unfit to be given the secrets of the Torah, he has no knowledge at all in the wisdom of religion. Hence, such a person is obviously inspired and elated when he finds the trifling wisdom explanation in their theology.
First of all, we have issues with the definitions in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Man, woman, gevel, man is one who mitgabel, overcomes. And if he is immersed in the will to receive, it's called a woman, and it has nothing to do with gender. Same with Jewish, Yehudi, mean from the word united, one who's drawn to unity. How many are really drawn to unity? We hope that we are being drawn to unity, and accordingly, we are called Israel. And so the definitions have nothing to do with the corporeal level and the corporeal nature of the human being. We're talking about spiritual definitions only. That's what we need to understand with regards to Kabbalah. And so what does it mean that a Gentile cannot be taught the Torah? It means impossible. You remember how Rabash explains that forbidden means impossible. In general, there's no prohibition. There are laws of nature. The laws of nature are not prohibiting anything. They're just making some things impossible. So it means that a person who is immersed in the will to receive, in order to receive, he cannot be taught the Torah. Because the Torah means in order to bestow. It's the light that reforms called Torah. The qualities that aim to change in order to bestow. These things are unrelated to those immersed in the will to receive. And so, prohibited means impossible.
Reading on page 149, Teaching Torah to Gentiles. Indeed, the Tana de Bileau related to the converted Gentile, or at least to one who retired from idol worshipping from superstition. Our sages, conversely, refer to one who did not retire from idol worshipping and wanted to know Israel's law and wisdom in order to strengthen and fortify their idolatry. And you might say,
their ego, in short, one's ego. What is idolatry? Everything is idolatry besides in order to bestow. So, one who wants to use the wisdom of Kabbalah or the light that reforms called Torah in order to succeed, in order to receive, surely that won't work. So, it's forbidden means it's impossible. It's not going to work. Yes, Ad?
No.
To that, what you said about that mustn't means that it's impossible. Rabash, he writes, a judge that is worthy or not worthy, he writes, my father has said, any place that it says that it's prohibited, it means that it's not possible, even if he wants to.
Yeah.
And you might say, why should we care if this Gentile has become more pious in his idol worshipping because of our Torah? If it does not help, what harm will it do?
Surely, it's not the path of correction. If a person enters the wisdom of Kabbalah and he wants to use it in order to come to some corporeal success, I don't know, sell red strings or holy waters or other things, there's many opportunities. So, what could be bad about that? Perhaps with that, one also learns about some good things related to spirituality. Is that for better or for worse in terms of the general development of reality? Does it bring humanity closer to correction or not? That's the question.
Rashbi is weeping. Indeed, this is what Rashbi cried for before he explained an important secret in the wisdom of the hidden. As it is written, Rabbi Shimon wept, woe if I tell, and woe if I do not tell. If I tell, the sinners will know how to serve their idols. And if I do not tell, the friends will lose that word. He was afraid lest this secret would come by the hands of idol worshippers, and they would perform their idolatry with the force of this holy mind. This is what prolongs our exile and brings upon us all the afflictions and the ruins, as we now see before us, since the sages of the nations of the world studied all the books of the children of Israel and turn them into delicacies to strengthen their faith, meaning their wisdom, called theology.
Meaning, as much as the Torah and the whole wisdom of Kabbalah can be used for their interest, their ego, it extends the exile and eventually leads to ruin in the world. And therefore, we should look at it in a way that the success of various circles that don't exactly teach how to reach the light that reforms and the form of bestowal, of connection, all those circles are extending the exile. Understood? Yes, Niv?
We see that there is a contradiction here in the wisdom. Every revelation has the potential to be used in an opposite way of bestowal and continuation of exile.
That's also true for what goes on within the person. A person within himself should also be cautious to keep his intentions as clean as possible, and his actions, and his relation to the group, and everything that relates to spirituality. I remember I was fixing the benches with Chaim Malka when we came to study with Rabash. And he would look and say, don't hit the wood so hard. I said, I was just, fixing it, making it kind of... And he said, this belongs to the group. And I was there for 2 months, 3 months. I didn't understand that, but there was this kind of attitude, that one has to be very, very cautious in how you relate to anything that's related. Turning off the electricity if unnecessary, don't hit the wood too hard. This builds the human. It builds the person towards spirituality. Very simple. These simple corporeal things. I'm not even talking about tithing and, participating in the maintenance payments or things like that. All the more so if you study the wisdom of Kabbalah to, be on a diet or something, or some other things. That is completely a decline. You can say, no, but I also study the Parzufim and the worlds and the Sfirot, and I gain a lot of knowledge about this and that. No, that's incorrect. Because you're not reaching connection in order to use the light that reforms and discover the Creator inside the connection in order to bring Him contentment, period. If it's not that, it's klipa. And the more you succeed, seemingly succeed by the wisdom of Kabbalah, selling your own methods, that makes it even worse. Yes.
So, how can a person self-contemplate and about this approach?
This is called cleanliness. If a person wants to educate himself correctly, as a person who's going to adapt himself to the last generation, then he has no choice. And this isn't something you really see on the outside. These are, it's his attitude.
Is there an examination that he can do so that he won't fall to calculations of morals? Maybe the criticism he does isn't
what's related to the connection in the group and the discovery of the Creator in the connection is holy.
Yes. And here, Rabbi Shimon, he also weeps of the revelation of the wisdom.
Right. The more the wisdom becomes revealed, there's danger, and not just danger, it's a fact, that there is an ability, a possibility to use it in some pragmatic, worldly ways to show that it's like other wisdoms, and you can connect it to psychology, philosophy, and history, and use it in that respect.
So it's relevant also for us, this warning of his?
How exactly? You're using it only in order to publicize the wisdom of Kabbalah, in order to teach it and draw others to inner work in circles, more inner and outer. And what else are you using it for?
One of the requirements that always arise is the relevance for life, the practical tools a person gets for his life, for his family. He's done more than 1,000 shows about life relevance, current affairs.
Right.
Where's this thin line here between using the wisdom of Kabbalah kind of in a clean way and using it for corporeality?
Give me an example where I say, where do I say that the wisdom of Kabbalah is in order to benefit this world only, instead of combining, integrating this world with the spiritual world, and that will lead to good? This is a very important point.
What's the point? What's the discernment?
That we need connection with the spiritual world, and then we'll be able to use it, the spiritual world, to be better off. But to use the spiritual world means that we need connection, we need proximity with the spiritual system. We need to attract it into our life. It's not that I detach spirituality and I say, all of this is now corporeal. This is a fine line.
Thank you.
Yes, Dudi.
Again, if maybe you can be more precise, I use connection, I use the spiritual connection in order to benefit this world, my life?
No, in order to benefit this world, if I'll be in connection with the spiritual world. What's the question? Why not?
Again, the question is, when we go out to explain, what do we say?
Look at us. What about us? What do? We want to reach the feeling and attainment and connection with the spiritual world. Why? However you turn it around, it's in order to be better off. Because I work from the will to receive. I have no other starting point. I'm all a will to receive for now.
But I'm hearing something that might reject me, but I understand we're going there in order to bestow upon the Creator. At the end of the day, that's the primary goal.
Yeah, okay, so what?
Not in order to have a better life here.
No, that too. Without it, you won't advance. Rabash used to say, you should take, you know, the kid, let's say, or your woman to your spouse to somewhere you want to bring her, but you take her through where she wants to go, where the kid wants to go. That's life wisdom. You hear, Maroni? Learn.
Sometimes we take the tips you give us and we highlight them as the primary.
But we're learning from the sources. What's going on? Come on, who am I? I'm just opening the sources together with you, and that's it.
In other words, our goal in dissemination to start with is to bring a person to the fact that he'll want the source.
There are circles, many circles. Some will come and sit here like you. Others come here, but they come once a week or once a month. That's good too. That's good too. Don't disrespect anyone. Some are connected through the internet. Not because they live far away, just because that they're good with that. They, you know, wake up in their bed the way they are. They turn on the computer screen. It's good. It's comfy. That's it. And there are others farther and farther. And that's the difference between the circles. We need all of them. That's how humanity is built. What are you asking?
Saying we're not coming to a person that's new and we say to him, do this and this and then your life will be better and that's it.
No.
But he needs to know there is something much bigger here, but gradually.
First of all, our attitude, what we're coming with, is the meaning of life, the essence of life, the corrections. Meaning, we're not talking to people saying, those who want to lose weight, come here, or something like that, you know, be healthy, be successful in the stock market or something, you know, something like that. This isn't our slogan. Rather, only the interior of life, let's say. That's more what we're aiming at. Also, you can't promise any corporeal benefits. Based on what? How? All you can promise is connection. You're teaching the person how to connect, and it might help him in the corporeal life. But not more than that.
Question is, maybe what Gilad is asking, are these circles, do they revolve around the same method of connection? For example, we have Rav Lightman, morning lesson, the source is Rav Shlomo Rabash, and around that there are circles. Someone is in a 10 daily, and another person is watching on the internet, watching every now and then. Or do we need a completely different approach for those that are daily in a 10 and for those that watch once a month or once every 6 months? And if it is a different method, then what is the different method?
A different method or lessons on a different level?
That's what I'm asking. I don't know what.
If you don't want to know what to say, I don't know what to answer. First of all, understand what I'm saying. Every circle is a different level of the same method.
What does it mean that the same method on a different level? If a person can't be in the ten or doesn't want to, he also doesn't want to study, that he doesn't want to sit daily.
People who come to us too, they don't enter the tens immediately or the study immediately. They hear some things, they are given lectures, talks, in general about the structure of the world, the structure of the soul, what are we for, who are we, etc. It's not actual teaching yet, it's around it. Half the articles of Bala Sulam are written that way.
What happens is, and I think this is what Gilad was saying, what happens is the further away the circle is, it becomes more on a level of just knowledge, of knowing. And this knowledge, because it's not a method anymore, it's not systematic, because he comes to a talk or to a lesson once every month or two, all he gets is knowledge. There isn't an ongoing process of change here.
Fine. Okay.
What I understand that happens, this is what I got from Gilad, is that a person gets like this external peel of the method.
No, it's not an external peel. When you know some knowledge from physics, a few things here and there, it doesn't mean that instead of physics, you've learned philosophy.
But if a person hears a certain anecdote in a certain clip, then he takes it to his corporeal life. This is where the discussion started. This is where the friends asked. The more external his knowledge is, the more he interprets it that way.
Why more external? It's just weaker, easier, more accessible to the common person who's farther. But it's not false.
No, not that it's false.
So it's not an anecdote, it's a fact. You explain to a little kid, you know, the laws of Newton with, you know, three parameters. And when you learn it in university, you'll see that it's a big formula with, you know, integrals. But same thing, but different level.
What develops the person?
What develops in the wisdom of Kabbalah is only connection.
So how does that bring him closer to connection?
Bit by bit. Troubles in life. The internality that suddenly changes by the general light that shines, taking part in our conventions, all kinds of things. But the development always happens by the light and with the aim of connection, not with the aim of knowledge, of knowing more. That's totally unrelated. Also, in our circles, if you know more or know less, there's nothing here that's taken into account. People can be here and know more or less, and it doesn't matter.
I ask. So the question is, what's the effectiveness? Because we see that a person towards connection, I'm not talking about, of course, a lot of the reforms, but a person changes mainly through experiences of connection. When he tastes connection, sitting in a ten, in a circle, in a congress, whatever, he goes through an experience of learning, of study. The question is, can an article, a clip, once every 6 months that a person is exposed to, what kind of connection lies there?
He knows that it's so. Bala Sulam, in the end of the introduction to the Book of Zohar, says that even just the knowledge, if it spreads within the masses, it prepares them, the people or all the nations of the world, to be connected to Yeshakel, to those in the head of the process.
In other words, there is the matter of entering this general knowledge to the masses, like to a black hole, because it prepares the grounds.
For them, that's it. They don't need more. They don't need further advancement. They're incapable of further progress.
So now that we need to decide, what's more correct? To find those that can be the head of the spear and build a path for them and bring them inside, or to now start warming up the masses and creating materials for them? Because it's very difficult to do both. And sometimes it isn't the same form of work.
You're right. And in truth, both this and that I would like. There are still people. Look, I think that for the masses, it's better if we advertise, because everything starts from this still. From them, those who will join the inner parts will come. They will feel, they will smell that there is something higher than what we're telling them there.
In other words, if I have certain resources, by working towards the masses, from them, those that want deeper will join, as opposed to starting to find from the masses those that want more and pulling them in?
Yeah.
No.
Well.
Victor Miss.
Victor from Schumacher. When we're talking about circles, we're talking about different levels of the desire's development. Can we characterize these different circles?
No. In the meantime, you can't do it and they can't. It'll fall into place. Less pressure. People come to study. They surely have to go through semester 1, 2, 3, whatever it is. I don't know how many you have. But then they get organized, and we have to make sure that when they get organized, that it'll be, they'll have some connection between them, that there'll be connection between the circles and so forth.
Sergei from Dnepr, why doesn't the light reform those that use it for idol worshipping?
Again?
Why doesn't the light that reform those that use the light for idol worshipping?
How could it be if they don't have an intention? Everything follows the intention, and besides, they're not using the light. How can they use the light with an intention to receive? What connection is there? There's no connection. There's no equivalence of form. Yes. Yeah. Microphone.
Thank you. Our friends David ask, how we can overcome border of our own shuddering?
It's not us, it's the upper light. We only reach the boundary. Today we spoke about perfection and imperfection. These are things that are on the boundary that we have to really sharpen and see. You know, it's like when you touch a wound, it hurts, but you don't have a choice if you have to touch it. And accordingly, according to that lack, the light that reforms comes. I hope that we're going to focus this issue also tonight. We'll have a lesson and perhaps we'll continue with that a little.
How, through connection and the Congress that started, can we change our attitude towards our people? Tonight a big storm is beginning, and tomorrow, and how can we focus all of our concern towards connection, that will determine our reality?
In the Zohar, it writes about the storm, you know, that within the storm we go up to the sky, so up to the heavens, so yeah, we'll go up to the heavens. All right, Chanoch, you want to ask? Okay.
If I want to connect, just like Aaron said, if I want to connect outwards, how does my desire to connect is much greater than a person outside? How do I connect to him in a way that he won't hate me in return, but that he'll be a good friend of mine along the path?
You have to do it first. You have to go down to his level, be as a friend, and also as a Rav. There is a concept of Rav friend, which means you're both a teacher and a friend, like a mother or a father. He needs to feel you, to feel warmth from you, and that you're also going to add to him, to fulfill him, to give him all the best. There's no problem if you are approaching in that way for the benefit of the person. He'll feel it and he'll have no complaint or hate towards you. Those who come here, then here it's a different thing. Here there are demands and conditions, and that's already where we have to set higher bars. Peter, yes, first time.
Question from Vadim from Yermolchik. If I didn't pay for a meal, but I planned on doing so, did I cause harm to my soul by doing that?
If I don't pay for the maintenance of the buildings of the group or the meals or whatever we all use, even if I don't come sometimes, it doesn't mean anything, by the way. Because everyone, we all took upon ourselves the maintenance in general, just here. Even that is important. No one can say, yeah, but I come once a month. Why do I need to pay for everything like what everyone pays? You can come every day. It's all open to everyone. That's the meaning of connection and then the group and family. One kli. So the approach has to be very, very delicate and properly measured according to the spiritual laws. Yes, Peter? That's it? Yes.
Rav, there is a great deficiency to continue the Ramchal exercise throughout the day. Do you recommend to continue this exercise on Zoom? And if so, with what intention must we be, anyone who's on that duty?
Our intention today, you should say, portray it and build it, define it. Our intention should be what is the lack, the true lack that we have to feel together, and that we're going to receive the degree of the embryo for. We are now beginning to feel, as opposed to, when was the Arava convention? A month. Look at how big of a difference, and how we understand today that Ubar, the embryo, is a collection of conditions and different states. It's not simple. Hisaron, the lack. What is the right hisaron to enter the conception, the ibu conception?
I just wanted to say that our friend Victor had a huge demand for this, and he demanded from us to have this Ramchal exercise. He organized everything. There is a Zoom, a Google Doc, so the groups can sign up, say when they want to be. All these details will be sent to the world clear. There's another surprise this evening as well. Okay, just a quick update about the Congress. So tomorrow on Friday we'll have morning lesson as usual with a meal. Starting from 12 p.m. we'll start gathering here. There's going to be a buffet after lunch. At 1, we're going to have prep for the first lesson. Entrance is permitted until 4 p.m. As we heard, it's going to be cold and stormy, so drive carefully. So again, short tomorrow morning lesson and chumus meal as usual. 12, gathering. At 1, preparation for the first lesson.
And a surprise, today from 6:15 to 6:45 we'll start with a gathering of friends with speakers from all over the world. We're asking our friends here from Israel to make an effort and come on time. Usually the lesson starts with less people, and we're going on working on the additions, so this is an opportunity for an addition of effort, and the lesson will continue afterwards.
So 6:15 to 6:45, we're going to have a Shivat Chavarim, 30 minutes, and then a lesson. And if you want, we can also change the lesson. We can do, instead of the Zohar lesson, maybe another lesson. It's fine, according to your desire. We'll see.
You're invited to the Shivat Chavarim, by the way.
Okay, thank you very much.
And a task from Peter.
Peter.
Friends, today with us on duty, Petach Tikva 10, number 11, Minsk, Moldova, Croatia and Serbia, and West Galilee, the daily task. During the day, we're trying to feel the wholeness of the group, the friends, and share the joy from that on the Zoom link, which everyone will receive. Again, during the day, we try to feel the wholeness of the friends and the group and share that joy on the Zoom together with everyone.
Reading a few announcements. Zohar lesson. You're invited to join the Zohar lesson, 6:15 p.m. on Kab.tv. Open Fridays. Friends from all around the world are welcome to join a special Kabbalah lesson and a festive meal. Nevatim Street 12, Petach Tikva. If you want more details and information, you can check out, you can call 1-700-529-219. Thank you and have a great day.
Преодолев туман, где правда есть, а где пустой мираж. Every day feels like the night. I hope you step into the light, because together we can make the darkness bright. Open your eyes. Skies.
Look up to the sky.
'Cause if your day feels like the night, I'll help you step into the light. Because together